Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. American Airlines is suspending flights to Hong Kong as the coronavirus outbreak undercuts demand for travel to mainland China and Hong Kong. American Airlines said today it will suspend flights from Los Angeles and Dallas-Fort Worth to Hong Kong through February 20th. The airline has already halted flights to mainland China for even longer through March 27th. This is the latest in a continuing blast of information about this highly contagious virus. We have 490 dead in China, some 24,000 confirmed cases in China. And here in the U.S., there are 11 confirmed cases. Should we be concerned here in America? Well, joining me to talk about this really frightening story is Dr. Ali Khan. He is Dean of the College of Public Health at the University of Nebraska Center. If you have any comments or questions about the coronavirus, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Khan, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Fisher, for the opportunity this evening.
Absolutely. Looking for some information, because a lot of people are honestly very, very worried about this, even those who may not be trying to travel to the Far East, but those who may be involved in international travel. Talk to me about what this coronavirus is.
Glad to. So let's start at the basics. So this is a viral disease that causes a severe acute respiratory syndrome. So fever, shortness of breath, pneumonia, and it's very similar to SARS. And you're right, it's very infectious. We've had over 25,000 cases at this point, mainly in China. About 10% of people have severe illness, and the initial data suggests that 2% of people may die if they get infected. 80% of those who die tend to be over 60 years of age and have other medical conditions. So that's sort of what the disease is. It's caused by a virus called a novel coronavirus. There are lots of coronaviruses out there, including ones that cause the common cold. But this coronavirus is related to another coronavirus that caused SARS in the past. And it's a virus that comes from bats. And the virus probably spilled over from bats into humans, and then it's been doing, unfortunately, a tragic job of being transmitted from person to person.
Why China?
There's a lot of reasons why China, probably because they have a lot of what are called wet markets. And so unlike the United States, where if you want to buy your chicken, you know, you go to the local, you know, Pathmark or and grab it out of a, you know, nicely shrink-wrapped out of a meat container. In China, you actually go to a market where the chickens are right there, and so are all the other civet cats and all sorts of other things, and you sort of pick that live animal and grab it, and it gets butchered there for you or handed to you to sort of process it yourself. So these live animals have their viruses in them, and those viruses can very easily be transmitted to humans.
I could go on and on about some of the reports that are literally rolling across my computer feed right now. There's a flight from Japan that has at least 10 confirmed cases. And I mentioned earlier about the domestic airlines banning or at least temporarily banning flights to mainland China, to Hong Kong. Do you believe that that is the best way to address this issue right now? Because it really does seem, unfortunately, to be moving faster than officials and experts and the like can address.
So there's no doubt that this is, there's a lot of uncertainty, and this is a fast-moving outbreak. I think we're going to have to use a little tincture of time to really identify how effective these measures have been. But these measures are being implemented as part of a containment strategy. Can you contain the virus to China, help the Chinese get rid of it, and can you make sure nobody else infected with the disease leaves China elsewhere? So it may be a little too early to pass judgment on how effective these travel restrictions are, but there are clearly travel restrictions across the world. Thousands of flights have been canceled. And here in the United States, we will only allow Americans and residents to return to the U.S. from China. And if they happen to come from this epicenter where most of the cases are, they will undergo a 14-day mandatory quarantine. And if they come from other parts of China, they will undergo a self-quarantine for 14 days.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the coronavirus that has been in the headlines for about a month or so now. Of course, a major concern, not only internationally, but right here at home. But should you be concerned about your health or the safety of your health as relates to the coronavirus? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Patricia, calling from Maryland. Patricia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I'm trying to find out, with all the viruses that are out here, how can you tell when a person has the coronavirus?
Hi, Patricia. That's really an excellent question, and this is why we depend on our public health systems and our doctors to help us understand what's going on. So you're very right. This looks like any other respiratory infection, lung infection. So it's important if you have a severe infection to go to your physician and to make sure that they examine you and make a diagnosis. Now, please remember, there's only 11 cases in the United States, and if you've not been exposed to somebody who's come back from China or one of those 11 cases, then you would not be infected with the coronavirus.
Okay.
So you have to have the exposure to somebody with the disease. You're not going to get it just from anywhere in Maryland.
Okay, so what's the preventive behind it? You know, how can we protect ourselves so that we don't get it?
Now, that's an even better question, Patricia. For most individuals, if you're not sick, my recommendations are that please continue to stay healthy and don't get sick so that we're not overburdening healthcare systems with people who may be sick, especially since it's still flu season. So what can you do to keep yourself healthy, right? It's flu season. Make sure you've gotten your flu shot if you haven't already. Make sure you wash your hands, especially before you touch your mouth or eyes, because you can transmit all sorts of viruses that way. Make sure you stop smoking. We know smoking causes you to be more susceptible or vulnerable to infections. Make sure you're eating right, sleeping right, and so that will help you stay healthy. Now, for some people who aren't healthy, if you do get sick, then we recommend that you cover your cough, that you stay at home. Please don't infect your neighbors and coworkers. And if you get very sick, then go see a physician. So that's the recommendations for all of America. And for those who are coming into the country from China, they know that they will be quarantined. And if they get sick, they will immediately obviously contact their doctors and say, hi, I've had exposure. So that's a different category of people, because we do know they've had exposure to the virus as opposed to the majority of the United States.
Okay. Patricia, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the coronavirus tonight, what you need to know should you be concerned. You mentioned something, Dr. Khan, that kind of struck me. You said, since this is flu season, how does the coronavirus differ from the flu?
Oh, excellent. And I've seen a lot of confusion. So the clinical illness can be the same. So you can end up getting a very severe lung injury, lung infection. So the clinical illness can be the same with severe flu and severe acute respiratory syndrome. However, the disease is very different, and the virus that causes it very different. So the influenza virus, we have a vaccine for that, and that virus is not an animal virus. That's a human virus that goes from human to human to human. So that is influenza virus, and it also doesn't cause as many deaths as we're seeing with this new SARS virus, and it's not causing as many infections amongst healthcare workers. So flu virus is different from this new novel coronavirus that we know is, 10% of people who get it are very severely ill, 2% potentially die. It's originally a bat virus. It causes infections in healthcare settings. So two different viruses, even though the disease that you may see may look the same.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the coronavirus tonight. Let's go to Lisa calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Lisa. What's on your mind?
Yes. Aren't we all at risk of the coronavirus since everything we buy and some of our food is made in China?
That's a really good question. So we are pretty confident that this virus is not spread by food, and it's not spread by insects. It's not spread by your pets. It's spread from person-to-person transmission. So you would have to have contact with somebody who's infected to get infected. So you're not going to get it from your food. That's not how this virus is transmitted. It's transmitted person to person.
Lisa, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Before I go back to the phone lines, when you talk about being transmitted from person to person, we've seen on the news quite a bit in China that there are people who have these surgical masks on. But I've heard that those surgical masks really don't help. That's more psychological than medical. Can you straighten that out?
Yes, I can help straighten that out. So the ideal mask, if you're dealing with the patient, is something called a N95. So that sort of helps take care of a lot of the small particles if you're next to a patient. So that's what your healthcare workers will be providing. Your basic surgical mask will take care of some of the droplets that come your way, but we do know that those droplets can also make their way into your eyes, so you would also have to be wearing an eye protection. So there's all sorts of other parts of staying protected than just putting on a little surgical mask.
Okay. Let me back up just a moment. So you said droplets. Are you? What do you mean by that?
That's very good. Keep me away from doctor speak.
That's all right. We need to know.
To talk about how people get infected. So what we know so far, it seems that people get infected directly by touching people who are infected. And then when you speak and you cough and you sneeze, that creates these droplets. And if those droplets make their way to your eyes or your mouth or your nose, they can make their way into your lungs, and then that's how you would get infected. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about sort of these particles or droplets from coughing and sneezing. And so that's what I'm talking about. And those are what you want to stay away from.
How viable are these droplets from coughing and sneezing after you cough and sneeze? I mean,
good point. So some of the data suggests that generally they're gone in about 2 hours, but if it's a nice, warm, moist environment, they could stay around for even up to a day.
Whoa. Okay. So with flu, and this is the piece that I'm trying to get next to and trying to understand. If someone has the flu and they are contagious and they cough or they sneeze, is influenza, how long is it viable?
So that's and you nailed that, right? Because that's how you get infected with influenza. Influenza can also stay on surfaces, which is why we tell people to keep washing their hands when they touch surfaces. I don't have the exact number. I'm sorry, off the top of my head, but it is viable on surfaces after you finish sneezing or coughing on them.
Wow, that's amazing. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the coronavirus. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin calling from Virginia. Kevin, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Quick question. It seems kind of coincidental that all the unrest over in China, that this virus will come out at this time. Is it? I know the world is temperamental right now. Would you think that they would release this virus to suppress the protesters over there?
Oh, I don't think there's any evidence at all that this virus was released. If you look at the genetic material of the virus, it's a classic bat virus. And we've seen this numerous times in our history as humans of how viruses emerge from animals and make their way into humans. And, you know, we just saw this with the, you think of it right now, we're seeing the Ebola outbreak. We know that's an outbreak from a bat virus into humans. The last SARS outbreak was the same thing. It was a bat virus that came through civet cats in a wet market to humans. So this happens all the time. And so there's no reason, and we've had enough, while there is a lot of uncertainty, we do have enough information to say that this was not deliberate. This was just natural, and you need good public health practices to pick up these cases when they happen and keep them from continuing to be transmitted to other people.
Do you think that because, China is the first or second most populated country in the world, that may contribute to some of the issues regarding infection?
Absolutely. So the more people you have, the more people you can potentially infect. And so that is clearly playing a role. One of these events of animals to human, if it happens like it does for other diseases, if it happens in a tiny village, it's very unlikely that this is going to get ignited and create an outbreak. However, if a similar event happens in a city of 11 million people, it's very easy to understand how a single individual or handful of individuals can infect tens of thousands, which is what has happened in this case.
Dr. Ali Khan, Dean of the College of Public Health at the University of Nebraska Center, thank you so much. I appreciate your information, and we'll continue this conversation in a bit to help keep people safe. Thank you again. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation tonight about the coronavirus. As we reported earlier, American Airlines has suspended flights to Hong Kong as the coronavirus outbreak is cutting into demand for travel in mainland China and in Hong Kong. We have reports of some nearly 500 people dead in China, more than 25,000 confirmed cases. But there are only 11 cases here in the United States. So should you be concerned about this issue? We just heard from Dr. Ali Khan. He is formerly with the United Public Health Service, now at the University of Nebraska Center. Joining us now is Dr. Siam Majoub, assistant professor with Howard University's College of Medicine, specializing in infectious diseases. Dr. Majoub, thank you so much for coming to the program. I appreciate it.
Good evening, Harold. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Lots to cover this evening, even though Dr. Khan shared quite a bit of information with us internationally. I do want to try to focus also domestically about some of these particular issues. And if you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go to Rudy real quick, calling from Baltimore, before we continue this part of the conversation. Rudy, thank you for holding on. What's on your mind?
I just want to know, why is it that the virus is on the Lysol spray cans for February 18, 2018 and 2019? They're already on the cans for disinfect. Now, if it's brand new, why is it on the cans 2 years ago?
So let me make sure I understand, because I've seen this on social media, and you're referring to, for example, on Lysol brand products or similar products, the kinds of viruses that they are supposed to protect against. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Dr. Majoub, are you familiar with what he's talking about?
I just didn't get the question. Is he talking about other viruses that are similar to the coronavirus that we had in the past?
So what he's referring to is, if you were to pick up a can of Lysol spray disinfectant, on the back, it has a list of the kinds of viruses that it is supposed to protect you from if you use it to clean your home, including coronavirus, influenza, etc. And what he's asking is, for much of the public, this is the first time we are hearing about coronavirus. But as Dr. Khan mentioned, this is not necessarily a new term to the medical community, correct?
Sure. So let me just explain a little bit to Rudy. So the coronavirus is the known virus that causes the common cold. So that's why maybe it's not in the news and there is not so much publicity about the coronavirus, but it is called coronavirus. So there are like alpha and beta viruses, and there are the ones that cause severe illnesses, such as like the one, the SARS virus, which was in China also in 2003, and the MERS CoV that caused the Middle East respiratory syndrome in 2012 in the Middle East, and that was common in camels. So the 2019 novel coronavirus is a similar virus to these two viruses. Basically, they have something in common between them, which is they are usually found in bats. But that's why the public is not very aware about this coronavirus, because we just see it in, you know, people who get common cold, and you just get the cold, you go, and then bed rest and supportive care, and people forget about it. So no one ever asks what is the common cold virus. So it's basically, the name is the common cold viruses, but this is like a severe form of a cold virus.
Okay. You got that, Rudy?
Yeah, but she didn't answer my question. Why is it on the container before? Why is it on a container 2 years ago, and they're just talking about it now?
So what so let me try to help you. Let me try to help clarify what she was explaining. The common cold, the cold that you've been getting since you were a kid, the cold that I got, the medical term, it is a form of coronavirus. It's been around for many, many years. That's what she's saying. Okay. What we are dealing with now is a severe strain. Is that correct, Dr.
Yes,
Majoub?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes,
right.
I'm still working on my medical degree here. But it is a severe strain of what we know as the common cold. And as Dr. Khan was explaining earlier about some of the symptoms, is that it's very similar to a common cold. It's very similar to the flu, which, as you know, with Lysol and those similar products that I had, that your mom had growing up, that is what we use to disinfect our homes. So if you have that in your home to help clean and disinfect your home, not only is it going to help deal with this, but the flu and colds and other things that, as Dr. Khan was so helpful in sharing with us, that these viruses that may remain on your faucet or any other parts of your home. So, you know, good for you that you are paying attention to these things. So, Rudy, thank you so much for your phone call. And Dr. Majoub, I think Rudy really raises a very good point, because for a lot of people, this is both frightening and extremely confusing.
It is, especially like all of a sudden we are hearing about this virus. People are reading more about it. There's so much publicity about it. But we're always advising patients we're talking to patients, and we're advising people just the simple act of washing your hands is very important. I know we talk about Lysol and disinfectant. All that is well and good, but it's very important. Washing hands, a simple thing that we wash our hands with soap and water, that's very important. Can, like, you know, protect also, like, when people cough, you have to cover your mouth. When you sneeze, you have to, you cover your nose. So simple things that we have learned so many years ago, it's very important. People don't believe that, but it's very, very important in protecting people and reducing the transmission. Mm.
You mentioned the SARS virus back in 2003. It lasted for 6 months. I wouldn't say only 6 months, but 6 months, a lot of people died as a result of SARS. Is there any expectation that this could also run its course, or are we talking about something that is particularly severe and even more resistant to health treatments?
Okay, so good question, Harold. So the information is evolving day by day, and we're getting updates from the CDC and the WHO. So the illness can range from like little or no symptoms to severe, people getting very ill, and there has been some reports of people dying. So it can be as simple as no symptoms, or people can get fever, cough, shortness of breath, you know, just exactly the symptoms people get when they have a common cold or the influenza, myalgia, like fatigue, feeling tired or sore throat or headache. But sometimes people can get, there has been reports of very severe symptoms, and this has happened in people who are like elderly or people who have like underlying medical conditions like diabetes, hypertension, or heart disease. So it has been so severe that people have been admitted to intensive care units, needing mechanical ventilation. So it can be very, very severe. But like I said, the information is evolving day by day, so that we can know more about the virus, about the transmission, and about the complications and the severity of the illness.
How long does it take to get a positive, or for that matter, a negative result when testing for the coronavirus, this particular strain of the coronavirus? How long are we talking about? And how long does that take?
So for now, the testing, so you're talking about testing, how to test people that are suspected of the coronavirus. So as of now, the test is only done at the CDC, Center for Disease Control. So what happens is that if an institution or a clinic suspects a case or a patient, they do their reporting through the local health department, which is kind of considered as the link between hospitals and clinics and the CDC. So the specimens are collected in a certain way. The local health department will give you instructions, and these specimens are sent directly to the CDC. So it is a PCR. It is a polymerase chain reaction test that can be done in like respiratory specimens as well as the serum or the blood. But how long does it take? I don't have the exact timing when the CDC releases their results, but people are following. Like I said, your local health department will be able to tell you when the specimens are tested and the results are out.
The other day, I spoke to a friend of mine who had just flown back from Los Angeles. She now has walking pneumonia. How does this compare to the symptoms of walking pneumonia or pneumonia? Because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but both of these are respiratory diseases like pneumonia, correct?
Sure. Right. So that's why the CDC has released like guidance to us healthcare professionals that what to look for. So basically, it's people having fever, cough, shortness of breath, and then they have close contact. This is very important that they had either close contact with a lab-confirmed diagnosis of coronavirus. And like I said, it can be very confusing because they can present with the same symptoms because coronavirus starts with cough, fever, shortness of breath, and people eventually might get severe pneumonia. So it just needs a lot of questioning, detailed questioning about, like, the healthcare professionals have to ask detailed questions about travel history, being in touch or in contact with someone who is suspected or had lab-confirmed coronavirus. And in this case, the local health departments are available for consultation. They have, like, for example, the D.C. Department of Health. They have a number that you can call if you're suspecting a case. And I'm sure this is all over the U.S. in all local health departments. You call if you have a suspected case, and then they will send you a form. You complete that form, and then the specimens sent are done and so forth. So you have to ask very detailed questions because, for all I know, this could be like someone coming in with the flu. They didn't get vaccinated, and now they have both influenza and pneumonia. Or it could just be like the simple walking pneumonia. And that's why it's very important to report to people have to report to their primary care doctor or the healthcare professional as early as possible.
I need to take a break, but when I come back, I have more questions about the similarities between this coronavirus strain, the flu, vaccinations, and moving forward to make sure that as this issue continues to develop here in the U.S., that we are prepared. Stay with me, doctor, and you, our listener as well, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about the coronavirus, what you need to know. Should you be concerned about it here in the United States? I'm talking to Dr. Siam Majoub. She's an assistant professor here at the Howard University College of Medicine. I want to go back, Dr. Majoub, to one of the issues that we were talking about before the break. If you have had a flu vaccine, you know, the annual flu vaccine, it starts, what, October or whenever, are you safe from this?
So it's two different viruses. So the influenza is a different virus from the coronavirus. But it's very important. We are still encouraging our patients in the clinic and in the hospital to get their influenza vaccine because at least the flu is preventable. You can get the flu vaccine. Also, if people get sick with the flu, there is treatment, unlike with the, and I don't know if that's the next question, but so far for the coronavirus, there is no vaccine available and no specific treatment as of yet. So it's all like supportive treatment.
When you say supportive treatment, what do you mean?
So supportive treatment meaning rest, IV fluids, antipyretics if someone has fever. And like I said, when they're like severe cases and people get admitted to the intensive care unit, they might get like be on mechanical ventilation. But as of now, you know, as per the CDC, no treatment as of yet.
So, for example, when I was speaking earlier about walking pneumonia, full-blown pneumonia, that's usually treated with, among other things, antibiotics. Is that correct?
Sure.
So,
right.
So if someone were to contract the coronavirus and then begin to experience respiratory issues, is that part of the supportive treatment, or would the antibiotics not be a part of dealing with the coronavirus?
Sure. So, you know, it would be helpful, like, because if someone comes in with pneumonia, you're not sure, while everything is being processed, specimens are being sent. I think especially for someone who is very sick, you have to treat them as if it's a case of pneumonia. So will be helpful. But as it is, like someone comes in with the coronavirus symptoms, you know, antibiotics does not treat that. But if someone has pneumonia, which could be like a result of having the severe coronavirus, so there can be complications of pneumonia, et cetera, then, you know, antibiotics, you know, would be like something to consider.
Mm-hmm. So obviously you want to go to your doctor, but, you know, beyond that, is this one of those situations where you have to let it run its course? Is that, in addition to the supportive treatments, are they just allowing it to see if it runs its course like a cold and to see if a patient will be able to recover from it with the help of those supportive treatments?
So I think, any patient who feels, any symptoms, it's a very good idea to give, your doctor a call or, the health center a call and just like explain your symptoms. And most likely they will ask you to come in, they will check your fever, and they will get detailed history. So basically checking yourself as soon as possible. But just like I said, everything like is similar, has similar symptoms, the common cold, the influenza, and now the coronavirus. So it's very important just to report to your doctor as soon as possible because, you know, even if it's not the coronavirus, sometimes the flu can be so severe that people can get very, very ill and they can get complications like bacterial pneumonia, sinusitis, et cetera. So it's very important to report to your physician as soon as possible so that they can give you advice. They can at least monitor you.
One of the things that we've seen a lot of over the past several weeks, pictures in mainland China of people attempting to fly out, is that you have health staff, health professionals with something that looks like a large pistol-like thermometer where they are scanning the foreheads of people who are coming into the airports and, you know, and the like. Is fever the very first symptom?
So fever, so these are like the symptoms, like the symptoms people will have. Fever, so you have to have fever, cough or shortness of breath. So, checking, that's a very good, way of doing things. People are being checked at the airport, and if they have fever, they're coming from China, they are quarantined for like 14 days, just to make sure. Fever is one of the initial symptoms of the coronavirus.
Is it possible, from what you understand about the coronavirus, to become infected from someone who may not yet have the symptoms? They may not be coughing, they may not feel feverish, or may not be sneezing, but have been infected themselves. Is that possible?
So we know now that people can be, just like I said in the beginning, they can have like, you know, mild symptoms or even no symptoms. So now as the data is evolving and we're getting more information from these cases in China, that people can have no symptoms and they can still carry the virus. So So it just depends, you know. There are things like how close you are that person. Is that person coughing? Because the most important thing, that because the mode of transmission is coughing, sneezing. So it's through droplets. And then these, someone coughs on your face or, you know, sneezes, and this falls on your, mouth or nose, and then that's how you get exposed, especially, for example, healthcare workers not wearing their protection. They're not wearing their mask. They're not wearing their eye protection. So this is how people will get the transmission. So someone has to be coughing or sneezing. That's how the virus spreads.
Dr. Khan mentioned before you joined the conversation about this virus being transmitted first through bats and then in China through some of the, the open food markets that are there. And that seems to have been ground zero for infection there. But here in the United States, as he said, that's not so much an issue here. So from your perspective, what might be outside of someone here, but what else might be the ground zero, or what medical experts need to be looking for? Is it perhaps college campuses where there are huge international student populations for those that are traveling to China? Is that possible? Are we talking about places like, as we heard a week or so ago, Washington State, where you have a huge Asian population that travels back and forth? What are your thoughts about that?
So I think for now, the CDC has done a good job trying to contain this, and they have been working very diligently on this. So for now, as per the CDC, the virus is not spreading in the community. But of course, people have to take precautions, and we're going to learn more. So for now, we know that transmission has happened person to person between mm-hmm. people. Information is going to be evolving. So, like I said, we just have to be careful. Like, washing hands, if you sneeze or cough in your elbow, cover your mouth or cover your nose. These are all, very important things. But just like you said, in China, there was initially this, came out of a market where there was people had contact with these living animals, but then eventually they had transmission from animals to humans, which is called spillover. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there were cases like between person-to-person transmission. So as far as the CDC, the virus right now is not spreading in the community, which is kind of a relief to us as healthcare professionals and as to the public as well.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Siam Majoub, for sharing your expertise. And we certainly will keep watching this very, very critical health issue and hope that it does not get worse before it gets better. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Harold. Have a great night.
You too. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Tuesday, February 4th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.